The Jason and Alexis podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sears Imported Autos, serving four generations of happy, returning customers.
Sears Imported Autos is just 10 minutes west of downtown on 394 in Minnetonka. More information at searsimports.com.
I need service.
Like a refill on your drink?
Or some more dipping sauces?
No, Goobers. I need service on my car.
Oh, okay. But I still want a refill on my drink.
Well, I'm sure the professionals at Sears Imported Autos can help with that because they literally do everything for you.
Yeah, I've heard you mention that. Didn't Colin just take his car into the service department at Sears?
He did, and it was amazing. And we've owned a few car brands, we've been to a few places, but the service at Sears was beyond. They gave him a free Mercedes loaner while his car was being worked on.
Oh, fancy.
Oh, absolutely. And obviously with COVID, safety is so important to the family at Sears. If people request, the service pros at Sears Imported Autos will pick up your car, perform the repairs, clean, disinfect, and get it back to you safe and sound. And I must say, it feels so nice, and it gives you that great peace of mind.
I know some places make it a pain to schedule an appointment. How is it at Sears?
So simple. No horrible phone trees. You can schedule an appointment right online at searsimports.com.
No wonder Sears won Best of the Best from Mercedes in 2018 and 2019.
To me, they are fabulous. No, fabulous. Every day, every year, for over 55 years, serving four generations of customers. And let's just say, very few can say that.
Sears Imported Autos, 10 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
And online at searsimports.com.
I got some new information.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert update. A quick look at what's happening in entertainment.
Real juicy.
On My Talk.
Tell me something good.
Police busted an illegal party with more than 5,000 people at the Tonto National Forest in Arizona over the weekend. It happened at the Lower Sycamore Creek Recreation Area. Citations ranged from DUIs, speeding, and reckless driving to illegal use of fireworks. Officials say a permit is required for groups of 75 or more to use or occupy Forest Service land. They had 5,000 people there, a little over the limit. Prince's unreleased album, Welcome to America, will now be released. The album is expected out on July 30th. The Prince Estate has released the title track, which is Prince giving a spoken word critique of celebrities, culture, and social media. Welcome to America was recorded over a decade ago and features 11 previously unreleased original tracks and a cover of Soul Asylum's Stand Up and Be Strong. A 59-year-old man from Texas is the first person to ever compete a cross-country run from Disneyland to Walt Disney World in Florida. Don Muchow made the trek to raise awareness for diabetes. He is type 1 diabetic. After years of participating in marathons and Ironman races, he said a little light bulb went off in his head to give the 2,845-mile journey a try. He finished up the run this week and hopes it will inspire others that diabetes doesn't have to slow them down. That's the latest dirt. You can find more stories like this at mytalk1071.com or by downloading our app.
That was a good update, Don.
Dirt Alert updates at the top of every hour. Plus, get extended dirt alerts at 820, 1220, and 520.
Meet me back here in an hour.
This morning I woke up and I had a little tingle.
There we go. And welcome to Jason and Alexis in the Morning. Live on MyTalk 107.1 and live streaming all over the earth at MyTalk107.1.com. I'm Jason Matheson. Alexis has the day off. Joining me today is the badass biatch of baking, ladies and gentlemen, Dawn McClain.
Ooh, good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Dawn.
And good morning to Kenny.
I'm here to be your guinea pig, McClain.
Perfect. Oh. That's right. We all are. We're all McClain's guinea pigs. And good morning to all of you on this Friday, April 9th, 2021. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the day. Welcome to your life. Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to National Cherish and Antique Day. Welcome to National Chinese Almond Cookie Day. Welcome, and this day's for me, welcome to National Dive Bar Day. Ooh. Welcome to National Chicken Little Awareness Day. Welcome to National Winston Churchill Day. Welcome to National Gin and Tonic Day. Welcome to National Unicorn Day, and welcome to your very first sip of delicious coffee.
Have you heard Donna and Steve lately?
Nope, no. I sure haven't.
Nope. Nope.
This is, excuse me, a damn fine cup of coffee.
Nope, sure haven't.
Okay.
Dawn McClain, how's your tea?
My tea is like a dive bar. It's full of pull tabs and lobster mac and cheese, and I'm hanging out at the 1029.
Nice. Kenner Mattel.
It's also ASMR Day, which means I'm drinking the Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response Blend, and I have no idea what that means. None at all. But there's a lot of big words there, and I sounded smart for a half a second.
Hey, you did a great job.
It's great.
My coffee, like the unicorn, is gallant, proud, graceful, and mythical.
Ooh,
cheers, everybody.
Great.
Cheers. There we go. Happy Friday. We made it. We made it to our favorite day of the week because at the end of the broadcast, we get to do our forced movie review.
Oh, yeah.
And this week, it is Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo, which I just completed about 20 minutes ago.
Yes. I started at 9:15 p.m.
I know you did. I texted Dawn because Colin worked most of the night. And so I was kind of, I was Han Solo. So I'm like, okay, well, this is perfect. This works out great. Because I try never to inflict our assignments onto Colin. So
yeah.
I try to watch it when he's not around. So I thought, oh, this is working out perfect. So I started it earlier, but then I got distracted because I took my mom out for some tacos. Then I came back, and then I started watching it. So I texted Dawn because I got the fear. I had a moment of fear mid-evening because I thought, did I hear this right? Like, am I doing the right Hitchcock movie?
Right.
Because I'm so scatterbrained that I thought, oh, are we doing Rear Window or are we doing Vertigo?
Right.
And I knew we were Hitchcock, but I got real worried that I was hearing things wrong. So I texted Dawn and I said, hey, just check in. Is this Vertigo? So then I'm laying in bed, like just going through the internet, and I got your text at 9:15 and I thought, holy crap, Dawn is just starting this.
Yeah.
And it's 9:15. So I got
like you.
Yeah.
No, it's been I've been making pretzels all
week.
Yes,
you have.
And plus MC wanted to watch it with me because he had never seen it.
Yeah.
And you know, I had to do that TV segment yesterday, so I didn't get home until 5:30. Then I had to go to the gym. Then I had some special time.
Oh.
And then we started the movie.
Oh.
Did you wrap presents?
We usually don't talk about special time on the air, Don. That's usually
canning
personal.
Apricots.
You canned apricots.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice. That's how many did you get canned?
Oh, about 78.
Perfect. That'll keep you through the spring, maybe into the beginning months of summer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I having a dream? This is
no. You're no Patrick Duffy. You're awake. How was the TV segment? If you don't mind me asking, you were worried about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Hashtag Steve. You were worried about it yesterday. How did it go?
It went great because when I got there. There were other steps that I was going to do, and they're like, oh, no, it's fine. We want to talk to you more about your baking. So just twist the pretzels with Steve. So I didn't do any water boiling or, you know, the egg wash and the salt. I didn't do any of that. We just took the dough, and he was ridiculous, of course. And it was fun, yeah. They were really cool, yeah. I enjoyed my time.
Did you do the segment with just Steve,
yes.
Or was Elizabeth there as
no,
well?
No, Elizabeth is on vacation until next
hello.
Tuesday, and they had a fill-in, but she had to go do the 4 o'clock news. So I wasn't on until 4:15 or so. So she had to leave. So I was just with Steve.
Got it. Okay.
Steve is funny when he's, because I've been on Twin Cities Live before. He's very professional and like buttoned up and not his normal, like really off the wall, goofy self. And Donna always says that he uses the radio show as his, he just thinks it's playtime. Because he has to be so, you know, Jason, you can't, you have to really know what you're doing and read your scripts and be focused to do a live talk show.
He doesn't take our profession seriously.
Not at all. He just uses it as fun playtime.
I actually have more. And I mean this. This isn't. I understand where Steve's coming from, but you know what's funny is it is the exact opposite for me.
Yeah.
This is, and I mean this. This is the broadcast that keeps me up at night.
Yeah.
In the best way possible, and what I mean by that is, it's a beast. It's 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I try, and who was it that was shocked? Oh, my sister-in-law. And my talkers, maybe you are, feel the same way, or maybe you are exactly. My sister-in-law, Tammy, who is a My Talker, has been for years. She's probably listening right now. She stunned me. We had Easter, and Colin was like, you know, we got to go. It's Sunday. You know, we have TV to watch. Jace has to prep for the show. And Tammy kind of looked at me like a, you know, when like a puppy that cocks their head, like,
yeah, huh?
And she's like, what do you mean? And Colin said, well, you know, he has to watch TV in order to talk about things and get the show. And I said, yeah, I said, every day we start, we can have a great show. Like yesterday, we had a great show. It was fun. I go, but every day we are working with a blank slate.
Yeah.
Like every single day, like on like right now, we're on Friday's broadcast. The show's done. I mean, it's produced, but if we pull up Monday's grid, it's empty. It's empty as B. Arthur's social life.
Yeah.
It's empty.
Yeah.
Soul.
And that's every day. I call it, my phrase is feeding the beast, feeding the, because it's, you constantly have to feed the beast. So it's funny that's Steve's, it's funny. I actually, it's reverse for me.
Yeah. Now he does put a lot into the radio show. Like he contributes a ton of stuff. I'm not saying that. It's just like he's real loosey goosey and all of his weird stuff in his head gets to come out. And he uses the radio show to do that.
Yes.
It drives Donna nuts.
Absolutely. I can
see. It's very fun. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Steve is super fun, but it's just funny how he's like, thanks so much for coming in today, Don. And I'm like, who are you?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was fun too, but I can see that he was like a different person.
Hey, guys, I have to interrupt with some breaking news out of CBS. Prince Philip just passed away at the age of 99.
Oh.
This is just coming through. ABC, CBS, and NBC has just broken into programming. Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go on to ABC and listen to a little bit of their coverage. Stay with us. Back in a moment.
Hey, ladies, want to go for a test drive?
Dawn, Jason's buying us a car.
So, do you mind if I ask for one with a moonroof and heated cup holders?
Guys, I'm not going to buy you a car. We're going to test drive a new smile.
Rude.
No, goofball. Your smile is great. But look, if you don't like your smile for whatever reason, Dr. Amy at Hughes Dental can take you for a smile test drive.
How does that work?
Well, after someone does one of Dr. Amy's legendary virtual smile consults and they start to consider veneers, Dr. Amy can do a 30-minute appointment where she puts on a composite material that will show the patient what their actual new smile could look like.
That's some Star Wars stuff right there.
Well, that's why I call Dr. Amy, the Yoda of dentistry. contact Dr. Amy and ask her about virtual smile consults and the smile test drive at Hughes-Dental.com.
Oh, and don't forget, Dr. Amy can be your regular dentist, too. Again, that's Hughes-Dental.com.
And follow them on Instagram for the latest promotions.
Jason and Alexis in the morning. Right here on My Talk, everything entertainment, everything pop culture. I'm Jace. Alexis is off today. Dawn and Kenny are here on this Friday, April 9th. About 12 minutes ago, Buckingham Palace lowered their flags and made the following announcement. Quote, "It is with deep sorrow that Her Majesty the Queen announces the death of her beloved husband, His Royal Highness, the Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. His Royal Highness passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle. Further announcements will be made in due course." The royal family joined with people around the world in mourning his loss. And then ABC went to their correspondent live in London. Let's listen to this and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Hi, George. Good morning. Yeah, just behind me, that flag was lowered to half staff just moments ago. The palace releasing that statement with their deep sorrow. And George, standing here, it really does. It feels like the end of an era here in Britain, around the Commonwealth and the country. After decades with the Queen standing by her side, the two of them together shaping what the country and the Commonwealth would look like today. The palace, as you just read, confirmed again moments ago that Philip passed away. He's 99, just 2 months shy of his 100th birthday. Now, we did learn he was able to spend his final days at home in Windsor Castle with the Queen by his side. That's where he's been for about the last 3 weeks or so after being released from the hospital where he was staying for a month undergoing a heart procedure as well as other medical care. Now, again, the country is mourning, asking what we are going to do next. You know, normally a royal funeral would be something that's commemorated widely throughout the country, throughout the UK. But this one, George, it's going to look a little bit different. We're still waiting for details, but, you know, due to coronavirus restrictions, the country here in the UK is still under a strict lockdown. Things will definitely look a little smaller. But George, certainly, whatever the size of these celebrations of his life, Prince Philip will be remembered. The legacy will be remembered because, wow, George, what a life he led. 99 years, and all of them were full. More than 2,000 solo engagements, 20,000 solo engagements, more than 2,000 visits in the UK and overseas. I mean, he packed so much life into his 99 years, shaping what the UK would look like today, shaping again what the Commonwealth would look like today. So a legacy that will be remembered. And of course, also looking to the Queen during this time, they were side by side together as they led this country. And George, I think of her right now because this is the first time today in this moment that she is going to be leading the country without her partner by her side.
Yeah, on a human level, I was thinking about the Queen, of like, what is that like, even at her age, to face her remaining years, God willing, without the man that's been by her side all of these years? It's just amazing to think about. It's, I don't know.
I wonder if, you know, when he was released from the hospital, everybody was thinking, oh, okay, he's better. I wonder if they knew he didn't have much time left and they said, there's nothing we can do about X, Y, and Z. And yeah, he just chose to come home and they didn't tell anyone that because, of course, they would keep that private. Because it sounds like since he was in the hospital, if there was an issue, he would just go back to the hospital. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he chose to be at home, I think she said. Right. So maybe they've known for 3 weeks that things, you know, he might just have a couple of days or a couple of weeks.
That's not a bad assumption. That's usually how it works.
Yeah.
But just, I mean, the reporter was right. Just think about his life, what he has seen, the decades, what he's experienced. I mean, you know, a lot of audiences, a lot of people are getting a taste of Prince Philip via, you know, the fictional dramatized account on The Crown. Even if 15% of The Crown is right, which is how a lot of folks are, like I said, ingesting his history. My goodness, what a life. What a life he's led. And what a mark he has left on the monarchy. I think I saw as I was quickly going through things, I think he registers as the longest serving, I think they call it stalwart, but the longest serving partner ever in a monarch. So right there, It's just incredible. Just amazing.
How old is the queen? Is she 94?
Let's see here.
95, something I could easily Google.
How old is the queen? 94.
Okay, 94. 90,
yeah. So 94 years old. Just, it's just amazing. Oh. It's just, I turned around. It was one of those things where Kenny texted, and then I turned and I saw the big breaking news banner. And anytime news departments use the color red, you know it's a serious moment.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, 99 years old. You kind of knew that last, Dawn, as you said, the last hospital visit, it seemed to be a little different, you know, especially when you're 99.
Yeah.
He didn't look in the best of shape. And you kind of got the sense that this particular, he's been in the hospital before, he's fallen, he's, you know, but this one just felt a little different. So
it did. And I noticed that he was not looking great. I mean, can you look great when you're 98 years old, 99?
Yeah.
But whenever he had that car accident, because he was still driving, you know, at age 99 or whenever that accident happened, and whenever they were sort of, you know, taking him from just to check him out from the hospital and there were photos of him, I was like, oh my gosh, he is looking.
On the flip side, it's easy to forget because, you know, right now we only think of him as the older gentleman, but Prince Philip was a great looking guy and a ladies man. I mean, he was considered kind of like a Tom Cruise and I'm looking at younger photos of him right now. And it's funny to think, because in my whole life, I feel like I'm 46, so he's been older my entire life, I feel like. So but looking back at younger pictures of him, he was a good looking man and had a personality. I was watching Mark Strassman, who CBS's London-based reporter has been for a while, and said, you know, the thing about Prince Philip was, he was very politically incorrect and didn't care. Mark said there are great recordings of him just going at it with the press. Because back in the day, you know, the microphones would always roll and people didn't care. The prince didn't care.
Sure.
And he was spicy. There's a word. He was spicy. And Prince Philip, 99 years old. A little bit later in the broadcast, we'll look back at more moments, how he helped shape the monarchy and more. But right now, when we come back, switching gears for a little while on this Friday, a little delayed. Hey, good looking. What you been cooking? Dawn has Jimmy Dean news. I just wanted to say that sentence. Yeah. I literally just wanted to say that sentence. That and more when we return.
How's about cooking something up with me?
Forget the actual content of this segment. I think what amuses all of us the most is the daily transition from contemporary music to Hank Williams. I don't know. Maybe it's just us. I don't know. Welcome back. Hey, good looking, what you got cooking? Our federally mandated cooking, dining, and cocktail segment. And we're going to begin with Dawn McClain today with Jimmy Dean news, which I've never been able to say on a single broadcast my entire career. Take it away, Dawn.
Okay, so when you hear Jimmy Dean, you think of?
Sausage.
Sausage, yes. I read this and I wasn't too excited about what they're putting out. It sounds kind of gross to me. Jimmy Dean now has two varieties of breakfast nuggets in its lineup of morning food.
I don't even like those words together.
Breakfast nuggets. Okay, yeah, so what it is one version is sausage, egg, and cheese. And the other one is made up of chicken sausage, egg, and cheese. Each breakfast nugget is rolled in crumbs to give you that nugget experience people love.
How big?
Oh, God. I think they're
like...
Are we
talking egg roll size or chicken nuggets, McDonald's nugget size?
I think, quality question.
You know, I think they're a little bit bigger than McDonald's nuggets. But I just don't want to bite into something that has like... A gooey, Like gristle? With cheese. I love cheese, as we all know. But I don't want to bite into some weird nugget that has egg. I don't know. Yeah. It's like, are they going to mix up the egg and the sausage together and the cheese so that it's one solid thing? Or are they separate products inside? That sounds
downstairs, dicey. Dawn, the cafeteria.
Yeah.
They will put a whole bevy of breakfast crap into one of those tiny little serving containers.
Yeah.
And when I first saw one of these, I thought, oh my God, that is the worst idea ever.
Okay.
But I'm going to soldier through. And by the time I was halfway through it, I knew I had to go back down to the cafeteria and get four more because it was the most delicious thing I had ever tasted.
Oh, was it a breakfast nugget?
Kenny.
No, it wasn't a nugget. It was served loosely, but it was egg and this and that and sausage and potato and whatnot.
Oh, you mean like a scramble thing in a container?
Yeah, but it was... Uh-huh. Yeah, but it was everything that you would find on a breakfast plate, all tossed in one container and mixed up.
Yes, yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is going to be horrible.
Oh, it was the
best thing I had ever had. Seriously, it was
with hash
so good.
Browns, I know what you're talking about. That's great.
Dawn and I used to eat that daily in the early days of the pandemic, didn't we, Dawn?
Yeah, we sure did. Yep.
Oh, that's so good.
Then I was like, why am I not fitting into my clothes? It's like, okay, well, you're eating really good food in the morning that's about 500 calories. I don't know. It's just, it's the scary experience of biting into it and not knowing what kind
the
of
mystery.
I think I'd have to cut it open and inspect first.
And I got to tell you, nuggets are great, and this may be a controversial take, but nuggets are great for your lunch. They're good for your supper, as my father-in-law says. I don't know if I want nuggets for breakfast. That's not, nugget isn't a breakfast item. That's just me.
Yeah.
Give me a nugget. Give me a nugget around 12:30.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want a nugget at 6 a.m.
Brunch
no.
nugget. Yeah, brunch nugget.
I don't like that. I don't like that. Mm. I love a nugget, not at breakfast. I don't know. I mean that. I'm not being silly. I think it's just that.
Also, you got to think this is going to come to you in a frozen form.
Oh,
so it has to have some type of a. Like, if I want a nugget, I would put these things in an air fryer because you don't want to microwave it. It's going to get mushy, some mushy egg type
thing. Yeah, it might explode.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm scared of this. I don't like it at all.
No, we don't like this, Jimmy Dean.
Jimmy Dean.
Well, this reminds me of something that I've recently become aware of. The cheesy tots, which are bigger the normal tater tots, and the cheese are inside. And I've been to more and more bars and restaurants up here that have these things, and oh my God, they are so unbelievably good. But yesterday, the roommate came home with some from Cub Deli. Have you tried them from Cub Deli?
No.
No.
Really exceptionally good. But
really?
they have to be consumed warm. I tried one cold, and I almost lost it. Yeah, put it in the microwave, warmed it up, and it was unbelievable.
I could see myself eating that because it's potatoes and cheese.
Yep.
But this is like sausage, egg, and cheese.
In nugget form.
And then rolled in breading.
Unpaid researcher Phil Jones just tweeted us a picture. No, now I'm even further not convinced.
No.
I'm seeing the bag. I'm seeing the packaging. Nope.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
That's a lunch item. Nuggets are lunch items. I'm sorry. Hard line. I'm drawing in the sand on that one. So.
As much as I hate it when people say, stick to traffic, dummy, I'm going to have to say to Jimmy Dean, stick to sausage, dummy.
That's right. Stick to sausage. That's my motto on a Saturday. I'm gonna do my continuing series that I call Still Getting It Done. Right, Dave?
Still Getting It Done.
That's right. Because all I do is, not all I do, but the point of this ongoing series is the fact that sometimes food writers only write about the new flashy things.
Sure.
And there are hundreds of restaurants in our area that don't get the publicity. They can't afford PR firms to help them. And but day in and day out, they kick Urs, and they need some light shining on them. So that's why I'm going to do this for a while. Again, what's it called, Dave?
Still getting it done.
That's right. And today, it's my beloved Pinebrook. Now, Pinebrook is, it's not a towny bar, but it is a towny restaurant. It's right smack dab in the middle of, like, Princeton, Cambridge area. And it's where, basically, we live in the summer, because it's by my in-law's lake house. So, and I'm going there for the first time this season tonight, and I'm... As I'm sitting here talking to you fine people, I couldn't care less about you. Because all I'm thinking
is going to the bar tonight.
I don't care about this show. I don't care about Vertigo. I don't care about anything. All I care about is in a few hours, I'm going to have my first taste of the fish fry of the cabin season. Anyway, I mean this. Todd and Teresa, husband and wife that own it. Dawn, I took you there, right? You've been to the Pinebrook, didn't you? Your cabin weekend? What?
I feel like I haven't.
Okay. It is, and people look down sometimes at these local little mom and pop restaurants. Oh, No. That's where the magic is, ladies and gentlemen. That's where the magic is.
Best food ever.
And Todd has been in the restaurant business for years. He was a trainer for Jimmy Buffett's restaurants. So he knows the ins and outs of restaurants. And more than that, he's a good man and a great chef. This food, I mean, and I've brought foodies there. I mean, my friend Jen, who is in the restaurant business, day in and day out, I don't care if you're getting prime rib, the fish fry, a pasta dish. Todd and his crew make damn good food. And food you're like, oh, wow, is this city food? And you're like, no. It's so good. It's the Pinebrook. I love it. The staff are fantastic. You feel comfortable. You can go in there in flip-flops. You can go in there nude if you want to. Don't tell Teresa and Todd I said that, but do whatever you want. You can't go in there nude. But I love them. The Pinebrook. As David Letterman says, still getting it done.
Still getting it done.
There we go.
I have a cold read regarding this. The Pinebrook Restaurant and Bar has been part of the landscape on Highway 95 and 47 since the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Built in the early 1900s, it was a one-room schoolhouse where a lot of the local baby boomers attended class.
Yep.
In 1965, the Little Red Schoolhouse said its farewells to the last students.
Yep.
It sat empty for a while and then was reopened as a bar and grill.
Yep, that's on the back of their menu.
Cool.
I've read that drunk. I've read that sober. I've read that mad, sad, glad. I've read that But yeah, it used to be a little schoolhouse. And then they enlarged it, and it's had various owners, and now it has the best owners, Todd and Teresa. So, and the one more little thing, and that's why I thought for sure, the thing about Todd is he's one of those owners where, and just watch him, you know, sometimes you don't see owners in places. Not only is Todd an owner, but his butt is in the back on the line helping the guys and gals. Gosh. And working the floor. Like, there isn't one time that I'm in there that I don't see Todd going up to every damn table and asking if everything's okay, clearing tables. Hell, he gets Mama Ha's beer. If she runs out of a Bud Light, Todd goes and he's just the best, one of the best restaurant owners I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. So,
Is this?
Yeah.
Sticky burger. Pepper jack cheese and bacon smothered with peanut butter sauce and homemade onion rings.
Yep.
I can be, if I leave right now, I can be there by the time they open this morning. Talk to you guys on Monday.
No, bye. We need you.
We do. Lex is
here.
Yeah. And they have the best homemade French onion soup. If you love French onion soup, I want to die in a bathtub full of that French onion soup.
Oh, does it have like cheese and croutons on top?
Yes. And Dawn, here's the thing. Don't give me no sweet ass. I don't want overly sweet French onion.
No.
I spit on you. I don't want that. I want good. I don't want a sweet. It's gross. If I want sweet, I'll eat some goobers. I want a nice, not sweet French onion, and that's what Todd makes. There we go. I'm done. When we come back, Prince Philip, breaking news about 40 minutes ago. Prince Philip died at the age of 99. When we come back, we have some fun facts about Prince Philip. Interesting facts about the prince. Plus, another anniversary that's meaningful for Dawn when we return. You could be a lot of places this morning, but you chose to be with us. And for that,
what's
we say...
Yeah,
exactly.
What's that say about you?
Why aren't you listening to Kathy Werzer? Welcome back. Jason and Alexis in the morning. Sans Alexis. She's taking the day off, but Dawn's here.
Hey, the girl,
The badass biatch of baking and the king of 394, Kenny. Earlier this morning, we heard the news out of the UK that Prince Philip has passed away at the age of 99. Obviously, as we're hearing reports, you don't need to know anything or have even an ounce of curiosity of the British family, of the royal family, to know that the gentleman lived an extraordinary life. So we thought it would be fun. To go through, you know, we do fun facts here on the show. So to go through some fun facts of Prince Philip is an extraordinary, it was a couple months from his 100th birthday. By the way, this is brought to you by unpaid researcher Phil Jones.
Wow.
Thank you, Phil. We appreciate this. First, Prince Philip wasn't actually born on his birthday. Listen to this. So he was born at a summer retreat at a summer retreat of the Greek royal family. So Greece was using the Julian calendar and wouldn't adopt the Gregorian calendar until 1923. Yeah, thank you. I tripped over that Gregorian calendar until 1923. So the difference is he was actually born on May 28th and not June 10th. So,
So does he acknowledge his birthday as May 25th or June 10th? I wonder.
I think he acknowledges it, or they had been the family on June 10th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh. Prince Philip's original surname was a mouthful. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yes, I love this.
Yeah. So in 1947, he began using the surname, as we know from the Crown, Mountbatten. His mother's surname.
Yes.
But before then, if he had a surname, which isn't always guaranteed if you're a royal, he would have gone by his father's family's name, which would have been, and I'm going to mangle this, so my apologies in the future here. Schleswig Holstein Sonderburg Glücksburg.
Oh my goodness. What?
I would have just been like, hello, Bob.
There's no Philip in there at all. Is that just the last name?
I think that's just the last name.
Oh my.
Yeah.
That's a Greek name for sure.
Yeah. Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth first met when she was just 13 years old. They met at a wedding in 1934. Well, he's only 6 years. Yeah, so he would have been 20.
Okay.
So they met at a wedding in 1934, but after this, their first official meeting, they began exchanging letters, and then romance quickly blossomed.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know this from the Crown. Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth are actually related. Both the Queen and Prince Philip are great-great-grandchildren of Queen Victoria.
Oh, wow.
That's far enough apart, isn't
great,
it?
Great-great? I feel like there needs to be another great in there. You know what I mean? It's a little too close.
Tad bit concerning.
Let me check the greats. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I got that right. No, only two greats, Don.
I guess in order to preserve the monarchy, they need somebody that's just two greats, because if you get further away, they're not royal enough to marry the future queen.
Listen, why are you being like this? How many grapes do you have down in dirty old Missouri? It's first cousins down there, right?
No, that's Arkansas.
Oh, no, that's Indiana.
Yeah.
That's where I'm
Missouri
from.
Missouri people always make fun of Arkansas, just like you guys make fun of Wisconsin.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, that's the one, that's the state we pick on and say they're dumber and they're inbred and... Yeah.
Oh, that is a Missouri fun fact. I didn't know that.
Every state has a state that they make fun of, and it's usually one right next to them.
Yeah, Indiana picked on people from Chicago.
Yeah.
We thought they were obnoxious.
See?
I have people in Arkansas, and the gal down there taught me how to use the phrase, all y'all.
All y'all. Yeah.
How do you deal with this weather up here, all y'all?
Oh, yeah, we say that for sure down in Missouri.
Oh, we're remembering Prince Philip with some Prince Philip interesting facts. None of Prince Philip's sisters attended his wedding.
Oh, they're doing Greek things.
Well, in 1947, his three surviving sisters had all married German nobility. And anti-German sentiment, hello, it's 47, was so primed that none of them were permitted to attend the wedding.
Oh, that is a big part of the story in The Crown, too.
Yep.
That they're associated with Nazis and it, like, tarnished his reputation.
Yeah. Whoa. Prince Philip is only the fifth. This is fascinating to me. Prince Philip was only the fifth male consort in British royal history.
Oh.
Yeah. In nearly a millennium of English royal history, he was only the fifth.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Prince Philip is only the fourth Duke of Edinburgh in history. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. And Prince Philip was one of the youngest lieutenants in the history of the Navy. He was just 21.
Oh,
so,
that's very young.
Yeah. And we knew this from The Crown. I love this. Prince Philip has a pilot's license. Had a pilot's license?
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. And he was the first member of the British royal family ever interviewed on television.
Oh, yes.
He was interviewed.
Also part of The Crown.
Yep. He was interviewed on BBC's current affairs program called Panorama in May 29th, 1961. So there
we go.
It's
kind of late, actually, isn't it?
It is, if you think about it. TV had been around for several years. Right. So, 1961.
I found his story so fascinating.
Me too.
I mean, Tobias Menzies plays him in The Crown, and boy, he does a great job. I don't even remember who the younger Prince Philip was. That's
Who played Doctor Who.
Matt Smith.
Matt Smith.
Right? Is that his name? Matt Smith?
Yeah, I think it's Matt Smith.
Yeah, he was good, but boy, once Tobias Menzies came into the picture, I was, you know, because when we had the transition from the younger Prince Philip and the Queen, it felt like we didn't want to let go of those people. I had this like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like it anymore because they're gone. But Olivia Colman got me right away.
I love her.
Tobias Menzies, same. I mean.
Well, that season, Dawn, I don't remember. If you just tuned in, by the way, we're remembering Prince Philip, who about just at the top of the hour, we found out, has passed away at the age of 99. It was the storyline of The Crown, Dawn, that got me. Because, you know, I went back and forth on how I felt about Philip as a viewer and as an observer.
Absolutely.
And,
it was a very, yes, yes.
And what changed me in one direction was that plot, not plot line, but when he invited the U.S. astronauts and he was so fascinated by them and their accomplishments and they were kind of bro-y, according to The Crown.
And he was so disappointed.
Disappointed, yes.
Because he had such dreams of being an adventurer. Like, he wanted to just explore space and the world and wanted to be taken seriously when it came to that stuff. And that was a big problem he had. He was just sort of the husband to the queen, you know?
Yep, and he wanted them to be more regal, and they were just men. They were mortals.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to follow MyTalk107.1 on YouTube, please. We just really appreciate it. Subscribe today. We'll be back with a fun anniversary after this.